UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to UAB Medcast. I'm Melanie Cole, and I invite you to listen as we give an update on the Comprehensive Ovarian Cancer Program at UAB Medicine. Joining me is Dr. Warner Huh. He's the chair in the Department of Obstetrics and Gynecology, and he's a gynecologic oncologist at UAB Medicine. Dr. Huh, it's a pleasure to have you join us again today. So give us a little bit of an update, the current state of ovarian cancer. What have you been seeing in the trends? And tell us about, you know, an update on your program.
Yeah, there isn't a better time to provide this update to you all because there has been so much that has happened in the space of ovarian cancer since we created the Comprehensive Ovarian Cancer Program. And so briefly, again, the program was created to really allow patients and their families to access all of the expertise and tools that we have when it comes to ovarian cancer, whether it's the surgical piece, the chemotherapy piece, the clinical trials piece, genetics, palliative supportive care, everything. And that was the intent, was to bring it all under one roof so that our patients and their families could access all levels of expertise. And as we developed this, it was a big win. It was a big win, particularly for our patients, because I think that we were honestly able to improve and raise the bar in regards to the overall quality of care and the offerings to ovarian cancer patients. But in the last 3 to 4 years, ovarian cancer in general has changed markedly. I mean, there have been several drugs that have been approved by the FDA that literally has changed the landscape of how we manage women with ovarian cancer. And this class of drugs are what we call PARP inhibitors. PARP is a DNA repair enzyme. And what we know is that in some women, particularly women that have what's known as a BRCA mutation, which is a mutation that puts individual women at risk for both ovarian cancer and breast cancer, that this particular drug works incredibly well in those women. Matter of fact, to the point where we have changed sort of the survival curve of these patients when they're given these drugs right after their initial chemotherapy. And there are 3 FDA-approved PARP inhibitors, and they have somewhat overlapping indications and usages in ovarian cancer patients, both in what we call the frontline setting, so in women who have just been diagnosed or on chemotherapy, have had surgery, and also the recurrent setting. So these are women who unfortunately have had a recurrence of their ovarian cancer. And then there's a second group. It's a group that we define as a genomically unstable group. Their DNA and their tumor is genomically unstable. And there are multiple different ways of measuring it. But what we know just for the nature of this discussion is that those patients also respond quite well to this class of drug. And so the alignment of that with the Comprehensive Ovarian Cancer Program has allowed us to really provide sort of cutting edge education and awareness related to drug therapy. But the reason that this is really important is 10 years ago, ovarian cancer management was very much a sort of a one-size-fits-all. I mean, everyone was really treated the same way. And now I can honestly say that it's a very highly personalized paradigm. And so each individual patient comes in, when they come with a diagnosis, we have a comprehensive plan that aligns whether they get surgery first, followed by chemo, or chemo first, followed by surgery. But we do all of this molecular diagnostic testing now up front that we didn't quite do 5 to 10 years ago to determine whether or not these drugs and other drugs can be used to really affect the outcomes of women. And because of the program and the way it was created, it allowed us to flip the switch basically overnight and provide that testing and counseling to all ovarian cancer patients. So it's been remarkable. It's exciting to be an ovarian cancer oncologist because A, we have more options than we ever had. B, we're definitely changing the prognosis and the outcomes for these women. And 3, you know, we're taking a disease that was a one-size-fits-all and now very much personalizing it on an individual level. It's an incredible, remarkable change.
That is amazing. And what an interesting topic today. So we would be remiss if we didn't ask you, Dr. Ha, how your clinic has evolved, how this program has evolved since the onset of COVID. What's changed? How does the pandemic kind of alter or change the way that you practice? And do you see that this will change some of the things in the future as you're telling us about all of these remarkable updates? What about things like telemedicine and during this pandemic? What's changed for you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that has changed is really the utilization of telemedicine. And when we were in the brunt of the pandemic, we definitely relied on telemedicine more than ever. The one thing we struggled with, our patients and families struggled with this, was access to resources. In other words, access to getting to the OR on time, being seen in clinic when there needs to be a face-to-face meeting, making sure that patients got their chemotherapy in a timely way. I'm just going to say very openly and proudly that my props go to our senior leadership here at UAB. They did an incredible job at prioritizing the care of all cancer patients, but particularly ovarian cancer patients, making sure that we had the staff and the resources to make sure that patients stayed on their chemotherapy schedules and there were no delays, making sure that our patients got their surgeries when they needed to and that not be delayed, incorporating telemedicine when it was appropriate. So they were very committed to making sure that we put patients always first, including their families, during a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. And so I'm personally really proud about how we have all been able to step up during the era of COVID.
Do you see that you're going to use some of this in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this has forced us to kind of reassess what resources do we need, really need, and perhaps maybe what is unnecessary and considered wasteful, and some things where can we work with patients where they don't have to make the long trip to Birmingham and see us, and can we do more of this by telemedicine? And in fact, one of my partners has a grant that's looking at this very topic, you know, the use of telemedicine for what we call toxicity assessments, or how patients are doing on drug therapy at home by using a telemedicine platform or a virtual platform. So undoubtedly, if and when, and we will get past COVID, that I think our management paradigms will be remarkably different, but they'll be different in favor of the patient. I think that patients will like the convenience, not necessarily having to make the trip, hopefully the flexibility of doing their visit from home, et cetera. So I see there being remarkable changes over the next, particularly over the next 5 years.
What a great point that you made. So before we wrap up, are there any game changers you'd like to let other providers know about? Any clinical trials that you're involved in or exciting research, and why you feel it's very important that they refer to the specialists at UAB Medicine for ovarian cancer?
I think one game changer is one of the dilemmas that every gynecologic oncologist, the specialists in my space, struggle with is whether women should have surgery first or they should get chemotherapy first. This is an ongoing debate nationally and internationally. I think we have done a really good job at assigning what patients are better served with which management strategy. And so we know that more and more women who are diagnosed with ovarian cancer are probably better served having chemotherapy first then surgery. I mean, that's very different than the way we managed patients 10 years ago. But what we're also doing is that we're taking advantage of some unique opportunities while patients are on chemo. We're looking at holistically at their nutrition. We're looking at their mobility and their physical activity. And is there a way to get them involved with physical therapy? And in essence, what we call improve their performance status, their overall functionality, their ability to do activities of daily living in preparation for surgery. And it's the perfect time to do that because, you know, when women are told that they have cancer, they obviously want to be in the best shape they could possibly be in advance of their surgery. And so we've taken advantage of that. And I think the next iteration of our program is to have a clear pathway where we can take advantage of that time while they're on chemo before they have their major surgery. So that's one major change that we have seen related to ovarian cancer, particularly as it relates to our program. In regards to our clinical trials, I mean, it's beyond the scope of this discussion, but we have one of the most robust clinical trial platforms in the Southeast region, particularly as it relates to ovarian cancer, everything from phase one to phase three trials. And my shout out goes to my two partners, both Dr. Trey Leith and Rebecca Aaron, both who are true experts in this area. And I think that we have really created almost a regional type platform that will allow patients in the Southeast region, not just in the state of Alabama, to come and actually participate in a clinical trial without having to travel so far. And then, you know, lastly, I think that we're doing a much better job in terms of just education, making patients aware of these choices. We have an expert within our division, Dr. Maggie Liang, who's an expert on financial toxicity. We know that nationally, that cancer diagnosis and treatment is a major cause for bankruptcy for patients and their families. And so now we're actually looking at having that discussion carefully with patients and their families up front, not later when perhaps it's too late and the impact is done. So there's so many elements in this program that are so important that not only inform us, but also inform all of cancer care at UAB. And like I said to you earlier, it's just really a super exciting time to be in this area, sort of transforming clinical cancer care.
What a great episode. Thank you so much, Dr. Ha, for the update and for sharing your expertise with us. And we hope you'll join us again anytime a community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. And that concludes this episode of UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can always visit our website at uabmedicine.org/physician. Please also remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other UAB Medicine podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole.